As you know, getting rent-to-rent deals through letting agents can be challenging, especially when you're starting off and you've got no history in rent-to-rent. So on today's podcast, I'm going to be breaking down the secrets to more direct-to-vendor deals so you can get started, get more and more deals at lower rents, scale your business, and then get into letting agency deals later. If that sounds good, you're in the right place. Plus, this Sunday, the 14th of November, I am hosting a special Ask Me Anything session in the Creative Cashflow group. So make sure you join. I'll put the link in the description and I'll see you Sunday, 8 p.m.
I'm Simon, and a few years ago, I decided I wanted to make a change. I wanted to create a passive reoccurring income to support me and my family. Today, and a legacy for the future. Fast forward 2 years, and I've managed to generate over £10,000 worth of monthly passive income. All from property. I've set up the business, scaled the business, and now I've systemized the business to free up my time. So join me to find out how I've done it, how others are doing it every day, and how you can do it too.
So let's get into it. Number one, you need to get set up right from day one, okay? And I've done a whole video on this, including a free download guiding you through the process. And I will put a link to this video in the description. So make sure after you've watched this video, go watch that one, get the free download, and you can scale up from here. The reason I say this is if you are not set up correctly, it's gonna make it so much harder for you to sell yourself and your services to a landlord. So save yourself the headache, save yourself the time, do the 12 steps and you will fly. So number two, you've got set up correctly. How am I going to find these landlords? So there's multiple streams of lead generation that you can do, and I'm gonna list a few of them right now. The first way is to simply get on the ground and get talking to people, drive through your goldmine area, look for empty properties, look for tradespeople up ladders, and actually just speak to people. The second is on your online portals. So Rightmove, Zoopla, Gumtree, you know, these are all platforms where landlords are advertising their properties, whether it be through an agent or directly themselves. And the great thing is we know that their property is available to let. So you want to get in contact with them. Now, one of the most common forms of lead generation for estate agents and letting agents is actually to target properties on the market. So I'm not sure if you've ever had a letter in the post from a letting agent. You know, do you want to let your property? Are you looking to sell your property perhaps from another agent? And that's what they do. So don't feel like it's underhand. That's just part of the game. Agents go on Rightmove. They see all the properties that are available and then they target them with letter sends. So that's another strategy that you can use. And finally, another great way of getting direct to vendor, particularly on the HMO side, is through the HMO register. So if you go online right now and search HMO register and your city, there will be publicly available information, a comprehensive list of all the HMOs in your city. And then what you can do is you can target them on a landlord by landlord basis. Quick disclaimer, the one available online is typically a list of the properties, the registered HMOs. But you can get one which has the owner's details on, but you'll need to go into the local council to retrieve that. So once you've managed to get this lead generation, you can then move on to the next step, and that is getting them on the phone. Okay, whether they call you or you call them, once you've managed to get this lead, step number three is make the phone call. Now, the only objection of this phone call is going to be to arrange the viewing. I see a lot of you trying to oversell or overcommunicate or overshare on an initial conversation. And we talk about the amount of touch points that you need to convert in sales. And the same goes with rent to rent. So don't try and do too much on the phone call. You know, it should go a little bit like this. Hi there. You know, calling in regards to your property available to let on Smith Street. Is it still available? Yeah. You know, would I be able to arrange a viewing? You know, and if no more questions are asked, go down to the property. Now, there might be some, but Simon, you might be wasting their time or wasting your time because they don't want it. Don't worry about that right now. Don't overshare. Main reason for this, right, is at the end of the day, sometimes what you need to do is go down to the property and see if it works for you and see if there's a connection. What's the point of having an extensive telephone conversation, right? Yeah, this is what I'll offer. This is what we do. Oh, what's that? What's this? And then you get down to the property and it's an absolute mess and you can't do anything with it anyway. So get a viewing. That's the only objective of the phone call. Now, if more questions are asked, you know, do a fact find, find out, you know, find out what's going on, what's the situation, how long has it been available for, and build rapport. But if the conversation doesn't go down there, get down to the property, meet the landlord or lady, and start building from then. What I've found is that when I have these conversations with landlords, you can quite quickly tell if it's going to be a winner or not. And, you know, what you want to see is you want to see a landlord that doesn't really want to be proactively involved in their property anymore. They want to be passive, okay? Because that's where we can add the value. So I've had landlords that, you know, they've called me up and they've said, look, Simon, do you know what? We've just had a property trashed and left in a mess. I'm thinking about selling, but we thought we'd give you a call first. Can you help? You know, I've had landlords whereby they've actually had to leave the country for work and their property was let. Then the property's become unlet. And I've had phone calls from Australia where they're like, we need some help. We can't get hold of our agent. They're not doing a good job. We need somebody on the ground. And they had nobody on the ground. So my experience with landlords is that it's all about building rapport and building a relationship. And if there is an alignment, you know, where they want more time, yeah, they want more time and we want to help them, we've got the time and we want a cash flow, that's when it works. Disclaimer, rent to rent is not for everyone. So if I do find a landlord that feels like they want to be more involved, or maybe they've got, you know, sort of emotional connections to the property, this may not be the right deal for them. So I think sometimes we're so fixed on trying to get a deal, that we walk into the wrong deals. I had a situation where I went to a property and, you know, the landlord, I could just tell, was like, well, you know, what if I want it back in 6 months? You know, I don't want to spend anything on the property. You know, well, trying to ask me a few more questions, like it almost felt like they might be fresh enough and young enough to do it themselves. I realized, you know what, I didn't feel comfortable with that. So I decided not to go ahead with that deal. But have the conversation, go down to the property and then take it from there. Number four, it's time to now conduct the viewing. So get yourself looking presentable. I always laugh. My missus used to always laugh at me because in my former life, I never had to wear, you know, smart attire other than weddings. I put my suit on, a little bit too baggy, won't fit right. But I got down there and I did what it took. So go down there, get looking professional. If you've got your physical marketing as per the 12 steps guide, and give the landlord a copy to share with their spouse. The viewing, top tips. All you want to be doing on the viewing really is listening 90% of the time. Listen, build rapport, fact find, and try and find out where you can add value. If you can't add value, be honest. Say, you know what, this isn't for me, but maybe you could try X and X and X. If it feels like there is a synergy, then great. What do you want to be looking for in terms of this property? We want to find a property that's in good condition, okay? If it's not in good condition, then we need to find out quite quickly what the landlord intends to do to the property to make it in good condition. Okay, but I never ever take on a property with a bad bathroom or a bad kitchen, like bad. I can be a bit more flexible with the bedrooms because lick of paint, furnishing new carpets can help. So look at carpets, look at the amount of plug sockets in rooms, you know, look at the standard of the bathroom, the kitchen, look to see if there's any, you know, white goods and appliances. If there's furniture, is he hoping or is she hoping to leave it or is this going to be removed? What's the state of the garden, you know, in terms of legislation? Has it got a decent boiler? Has there been a gas sir, EPC, EICR? So you go round, and to be honest with you, I might even have to create a viewing checklist for you. If you think that's a good idea, comment below. But they are the key tips on the viewing. If you get in the property and it's tired as hell and the landlord has not a penny to spend on it, move on. Just move on. If you go in a property and it doesn't require much work, then happy days. Let's try and lock it down. Number five, you've gone to the property and you've decided, yeah, I like the landlord. I like the property. It's time to now make an offer. And what I always say with offers is the only thing that counts at the beginning is the amount of rent you're going to pay and the length of term. Keep it simple. So what I would typically do is I would say, yeah, Mr. Landlord, I like this property. What rent are you hoping to achieve? I'm hoping to achieve £1,200. Okay, cool. And you know, would you typically get that property managed? Yes, I'd get that managed. You like that landlord voice, right? So long story cut short, we work out that after the management, they might get 1050. I try and offer them the full 1050. Yeah? Too many people are like, go on a course, crunch their figures and then offer £700 and they wonder why they don't get a rent-to-rent deal. So try and be as close to the asking price as possible. And then it's our job as rent-to-renters to add the value, whether that be SA or HMO or more rooms or higher premiums. So make the offer. And then at this point, what I would also do is I would send an example copy of the management agreement that we would use. Okay, just a Joe Bloggs version. Here's a copy. This is what we can do. And here's a copy of the agreement. And then from there, they can look at the agreement. As long as your offer is acceptable, you can then move forward. Number six, the offer's been accepted. You've sent over the paperwork. Now it's time to negotiate some finer details. Okay, so in the agreement you've sent, there should be the necessary termination clauses, the break clauses, what we're going to do, what they're expected to do. And if they want to come back with anything they can do, then we then negotiate that. This is also when I would look at discussing a rent-free period or a preparation period, as I like to call it. Who's doing what in terms of the works, that carpet, that washing machine, what are we going to do with the furniture, okay? And then also just the rental sort of payment arrangement. So sometimes what I would do is if they're reluctant to have a rent-free period or they need cash flow, I might pay them the full month's rent on month one and then 50% on month two. But at least I'm showing them that I'm serious and I'm putting my money where my mouth is, so to speak. Typically, no deposits on rent-to-rent through landlords, as we're investing in the property and we're going to do a great job. And then, you know, from there, you hopefully, if you've done everything right, you should be in a position where you can finalize the details and sign off. Now, look, in terms of the agreements and going back and forth, I've had experiences where I've had to go back and forth quite a few times. I've had landlords that have been solicitors and they've absolutely like butchered, you know, some of my points and stated that they're not having it or this, that, and the other. So top tip in terms of negotiating is normally if somebody's got a bit of a objection, it's normally on the surface and you need to get down and deeper into that. So they might say, for example, you know, well, you know, I'm not willing to give you a rent-free period. But what they really mean is that they would just want some rent at the beginning before handing over the keys. So you figure that out. To the same degree, somebody might say, do you know what? I want a break clause after 18 months because, you know, I might want to sell it. So you would want to know why they're going to sell it okay? And they might say, well, do you know, I'm retiring and I'm planning on going to the south of France. And if that happened, then I might need to do X. So figure out what they're thinking, and then that will help you to give them what they want and create the win-win. After that, it's time for the keys. You got your first rent-to-rent deal, and it's time to get cooking. That's when the real work starts, and you've got to do the refurb. If you found this useful, subscribe to this channel for weekly content. Comment below with any questions you've got whatsoever. And remember, don't wait 25 years. Get creative.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check out simonsmithonline.com. See you next time.